1515 app probably presents the Wrestling Roundtables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell what we like, didn't like, and what was just flat out horrendous. It is your favorite tag team partners, me, Starter Pearl.
It's Miller.
Raw took place in Des Moines, Iowa. Yep.
I don't know anything about Des Moines, so I got nothing for you.
I mean, I can...
They used to have a arena football league team. I don't know if they still do. I think they were the Des Moines or the Iowa Barnstormers, I think they were called.
The arena is sponsored by Wells Fargo. I think if you thought about banking with them or you want to bank with them, stay as far away as possible.
Do people really bank with Wells Fargo?
Yeah. Which is why motherfuckers been getting in trouble. Shit. Been fucking people over.
I wouldn't bank with them.
Stay as far as you can go.
It's awful. That was pretty bad. That was a stretch.
Yeah, it was, but whatever. I went for it. Shot my shot. Fuck it. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, since we got shit, no stories to tell for Des Moines, Iowa. moving on, dude.
Match to watch?
Yeah, you got a match to watch for us?
I do. AJ Styles versus Tyler Black, aka Seth Rollins, 2006 IWA Mid-South. This is what happens when we talk about it. IWA Mid-South. It's kind of a local promotion here. They still kind of run shows, but when they were prominent, they ran the TPI tournament, which was a huge tournament. It was kind of the Super Strong Style 16 of the indies back in the day. Okay. However, back in 2006, that was the last time that Tyler Black, aka Seth Rollins, met AJ Styles. And at the time, AJ Styles told him that he was the future of the biz, and now we're here. So if you want to get kind of a taste of what their match is going to be like, I'm sure their match coming up is going to be most likely a lot better than their 2006 match. But it's up on the iHeart Wrestling page. If you are a listener, or a fan, I'm sorry, and on iHeart Wrestling, you can check that out. Otherwise, YouTube it. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. But yeah, that's a throwback this time, my match to watch for. AJ Styles and Seth Rollins, a.k.a. Tyler Black.
All right, news and rumors?
First off, Private Party. Leva Bates and Peter Avalon were all announced to have signed with AEW. If you haven't seen Private Party before, they are a really, really good tag team. Their home promotion is House of Glory, which is ran by Amazing Red. You can actually Google a lot of them, or I'm sorry, YouTube a lot of their matches. They are really, really, really good. If you watch the Being the Elite, most recent episodes, you saw a compilation of what they do. I suspect that these dudes are going to be at the top of the card at some point with AEW. They're that entertaining. Their character is dope. And with AEW's presentation, I think it's going to work, because even on the lower indie scale, the way they're presented is pretty dope. And you're like, man, these dudes, they come off as, what's the word I'm looking for? Not top notch, but like, they come off as real. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, yeah, those guys. So, Private Party. Leva Bates, you guys know her, Blue Pants. I'm glad that she's getting the opportunity. She's been in the indies for a long time, and she's really good in the ring, and I love her cosplay. And Peter Avalon's a name some people won't know unless you're a hardcore indie fan. He's based on the West Coast, but he's really good. The funny thing is, the storyline behind that is Leva Bates is going to be the librarian chosen by Kenny Omega and Cody, whereas Christopher Daniels and the Young Bucks chose Peter Avalon. So it's going to be interesting how this all works out and what that leads to. Maybe intergender matches. Who knows? The War Raiders, formerly known as Viking Experience, are now the Viking Raiders. I guess Vince McMahon kind of took it seriously when he saw all the complaints and negativity. And he was kind of like, yeah, I need to change this. So that's what he did.
I was going
to
mention that.
Viking Raiders. I'm meeting the middle. Whatever.
Yeah,
Dude,
still don't like it, but whatever.
It's close enough to good. Yeah. It's about as good as we're going to get. Ronda Rousey announced that she may not return to WWE, which, okay, whatever. That's cool. I mean, not that I didn't like her run.
Look, it's like what I posted on the IR Wrestling page. Follow that. Plug. I said, the spokes are going to keep on spinning.
Right. Like, she did a good job for what it's worth, and if you want to be a full-time mom, hey, you earn that right. Go for it. Do what you
do what you got to do. Plus, look, until you fix your mic skills anyway, I don't want to hear you.
Aleister Black, Zelina Vega, and Andrade all moved to SmackDown Live. It's said, there's a couple different rumors. One of the rumors...
I don't think the bar is dead.
I don't know if the bar... Well, okay. So Cesaro... been
saying that, and I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, Cesaro's part of that group that came over to kind of even out everything, because with the move of Aleister Black and Andrade, they brought Cesaro, and we already knew Samoa Joe was going to end up being on Raw anyway. But that being said, the rumor behind it, there's two different things, and both of them are believable. If Andrade and Zelina Vega go to SmackDown, that leaves Aleister Black without his travel buddy, which I don't believe he had in the first place, because he was on Raw and she was on SmackDown, but they're married in WWE.
Kudos to them. Well, technically, he was on both shows.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He was on both shows because he was in NXT.
But how did they travel together that way? But anyway, WWE tries to keep married couples together. So one of the rumors, though, is that Andrade and Charlotte have gotten engaged. So that was part of Charlotte being like, well, he should be over here. So then Zelina goes. And then in turn, Aleister Black goes. The other rumor that to me is a little bit more believable in a sense, especially with WWE trying to put the hammer down on giving everybody what they want, is that Fox requested to have Andrade and Zelina on SmackDown because there was no Latin American influence, and they want to use that on Fox Deportes, which makes sense because I end up watching a lot of Fox Deportes, and they show wrestling sometimes. They show different luchadors coming in. So now that they have WWE under their wing, they're not going to be able to bring in people from AAA or CMLL to do these once-off interviews because they're kind of exclusively tied to WWE. So then it's like, well, what do you have to offer Deportes? And that, to me, if I'm a businessman and there's no Latino stars, I'm like, what the fuck? I can't run. Like, you got to have representation across the board if you're running. It just doesn't make sense because, you know, like, what are you doing then? You know what I mean? Like, let's put everybody on Raw. That's stupid. You can't run a business like that.
I mean, I understand, but fuck that shit.
I guess, but the way I look at it, you can't run a business that way. You have to have representation because if I'm Hispanic, what the fuck reason am I going to watch SmackDown?
I mean, for who? I mean, they could put anybody over there, though. They ain't like Andrade is the only fucking Hispanic.
No, I understand that, but he's the... okay, me being a La Sombra fan for so long, the way he's booked is bullshit. That's number one, in my opinion. Well, because this dude is...
The way he keep losing, I would say.
Well, that's good.
Because I also look at it as they still allow him to go perform. Like, I'm saying he's not ever going out there getting squashed. He's out there performing.
Right.
And like, they allow him to actually wrestle. And that's the difference, because we've seen them book people.
True.
A la Kurt Hawkins.
And that's cool, but at the same time... No, and I totally understand it. And yes, they're not having him squashed. Yeah. I don't think he would go for that shit. Somebody got their ass whooped if he was getting squashed. But, you know what I'm saying? In the end of the day, the way you're booked when you're that talented comes down to wins and losses.
Yeah.
And really does.
And then they book him against top-tier talent, too.
To lose, though. So at what point do you elevate somebody? Like, so you brought him up. He could go back to NXT for this shit. I just take it personal. As a CMLL fan and a La Sombra fan, that they turned him into kind of a jobberish guy. Like, I'm going to job to the top-tier guys.
I don't get that feeling, though.
No?
I know. I get the feeling I get with Andrade. Because for whatever reason, I think WWE is high on him. I the feeling that I get is that your turn is coming. That's the feeling that I get out of it. And because we've seen WWE really treat some wrestlers.
I just don't want... My only thing is, I don't want his shine, when it does come, to be attributed to Charlotte. That shit don't got nothing to do with that broad. This dude is legit. And if you don't believe me, look up La Sombra and kiss my ass.
Just look up all his matches, even the ones that he lost. That's what I'm saying.
But the other matches he's had outside of that are, like, if you really get to see him work with no restraints, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, even some of his NXT stuff was restrained. Right. But if you see this guy with the freedom to do what he does, his matches with fucking Shinsuke were ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So that's how I measure it. But yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Jazz had to vacate the NWA Women's Championship due to health reasons. And I found out probably like an hour ago that now Allison is going to be facing Santana Garrett. If you guys watch WOW or have watched... Wasn't she in the Mae Young?
Santana Garrett, yeah.
Okay. Have you seen the Mae Young tournament? She was in that. She really works a lot.
WWE Hall of
Famer? Yes, if you were, you know, the Jazz, the WWE Hall of Famer, is the current NWA Women's Champion, but she's having to relinquish the title due to health and personal reasons, she said. So, she said she'd give an update later on, so there's that. And then, last but not least, and something that made me cry because I'm probably going to be in line for hours and hours and I don't give a shit, is Katsuyori Shibata. I messed up your whole name. I'm so sorry. I'm too excited. Katsuyori Shibata is going to be doing a meet and greet at each of the War of the Worlds shows, which means Chicago. So that means I'm going to have to line up whenever the hell I'm supposed to line up, because if May 12th? I don't meet this dude, I'm going to be there. Like,
man, look, you better start apologizing right now, though.
For what?
That's Mother's Day.
I know. I already got... My mom lives in Arizona. My grandma is no longer with us. I'm Gucci.
I'm talking about your wife.
She's got to work.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You lucky.
I mean, she was going to go... She wanted to go to the wrestling anyway. Oh, yeah, that was the whole point. She wanted to go to see the Briscoe. She's a big Briscoe fan.
Yeah.
But she's not going to get out of work in time. And she was like, you just go. Because she's not going to get out of work to whatever. She may end up being able to go if they let her out early enough. But
I mean...
But I'm going to be in line.
It's Mother's Day, but our ways don't come that often.
Exactly.
So I gotta go. Well, I'm gonna go.
Bring Tiff.
I will.
There you go.
I mean,
did she go before Monday? Yeah, I just thought about
that. Did last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She went last time and enjoyed herself. All right, just a good time. As long as Enzo and Cass don't show up. If them dudes show up, I promise you, I'm getting my ass up and I'm walking away.
Get out your feelings.
I could be in my feelings. I don't give a shit. I paid for the show. Walking out.
All of your feelings.
I'm not going to walk out the show, but that part, I have nothing to do with. Don't want it. If I was sitting front row, I'd turn my chair around just so they know I don't give a shit about you.
Look, you have to let it build. You have to.
They can't fucking wrestle.
You have to let it be.
This is our way.
Y'all said
wrestling.
The same thing about Matt Hardy. Calm your ass the fuck down.
I can't stand
no, that. No, fuck that. Oh, shut the fuck up. Y'all did the same thing to Matt Hardy. Calm your ass the fuck down, you fucking stands.
We're robots.
No, y'all stand.
We are robots.
Right.
Robots, R-O-H-B-O-T-S, robots. And goddamn it, I don't want them anywhere near my ring. I want wrist locks, I want wrist holds, I want scissor holds. That's what I want. I don't want that bullshit.
Fuck, you watch Bubba Ray? You watch Bubba Ray.
I barely.
Get the fuck out of here.
Barely.
You watch Bubba Ray. And you people mark out for Bubba Ray Dudley.
Don't include
and
me
as a
in
wrestler,
that one.
And as a wrestler, come on. Really? Nah, I mean, I'm just throw that out there. The motherfucker leaves a lot to be desired. I'm just saying. As a wrestler. Now, as somebody who goes out there and brawl and entertain, I can give you that. But if you're looking like for wrestling, Bubba Ray is not.
So let me, okay, here's my comeback to that. From the get-go when he came, part of the issue...
I don't give a fuck.
Let me
what the get-go
finish?
Is. No, because I know where you're going to go with that. Go ahead.
You don't know where I'm going to go.
Go ahead.
What's the argument with my wife? My point is that when Bubba Ray first came, the first thing he addressed was, hey, I'm not here to take anybody's spot. I love ROH. I know what ROH stands for. I'm blah, blah, blah. And the way his character is produced... He's there to do, like, he's not in the main event. He's not all in the mix of other stuff. He's got his program with Flip Gordon, and they do their thing. And once that's over, he's going to do his backstage shit. That's cool. We're talking about two dudes, and I'm just giving my opinion. I get what you're saying. And in the end of the day, always going to do what the fuck they want to do. It doesn't matter what I think. My issue is that they don't, to me, add anything to the tag team division. There's nothing that I want to see from them that they're going to bring to the table. I love the Briscoes. I've seen them drag motherfuckers through the mud before. As much as I love to see Enzo and Cav get their ass whooped, I don't want to see it in an ROH ring. Just because they don't... There's so many other... There's Private Party out there. Well, was out there. There's all these other tag teams, but this is the one you want. They're not giving... They're not going to give you ratings. I promise you, it's not going to be that much rating increase. It's really not. Because they can't even get a fucking spotlight at the G1 Supercard on what the hell they're supposed to do. So I'm supposed to trust you in the ring? To deliver a quality of bullshit.
You're bringing them in for the heat.
But this that's is what not. You're bringing I get
for.
It, but like.
That's what you're bringing. You're bringing them in for the heat to build a story. That's what you're bringing for.
I just can't, man. Hey. I don't like them.
And y'all did the same thing to Matt Hardy. Yeah. Like I said, you fucking stans need to calm the fuck down.
We did it to Jeff Hardy, too. But he was high as hell when he came. At Death, look up Death Before Dishonor, Jeff Hardy, ROH. That motherfucker was high, and he fucked up so many times, and we just ate his ass alive. That's pretty much what set up what happened to Matt, actually. If I think about it all the way, that Death Before Dishonor, I want to say it was 2004, mm-hmm. maybe 2003. When Jeff Hardy fucked up, from that point on, as soon as Matt came, like 3 years later, we were like, "Oh hell no, 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 no!"
I mean, look, man.
It is what it is, man.
And we don't know what they having them do. We don't know what they expecting from these two. I forget what their name is supposed to be. It's not
the free agents.
Yeah, the free agents. We don't know what they expecting them to do. We don't know if they training in the dojo and working on new moves and shit like that. We just don't know. But early on, all we're going to get is brawling. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get the brawling because you have the Briscoes who can do that. They can give you that redneck kung fu. That's what you're going to get right now. Because they just going to work off the bad heat that they're going to get. And then they're going to develop. These guys ain't going to be top tier, number one fucking tag team and shit in ROH. Hell fucking no. But this is, I understand why they want to take this chance. They're going to take that heat and they're going to build off that heat because they want to show that, look, we were talented as a tag team. Don't act like we didn't love them in NXT.
But,
and it
worked. I agree.
And what they did worked, regardless of the fact.
But I think that NXT is designed for that. Like, that's the one thing I will say about ROH, and I've always, I don't, not criticized, but ROH is a niche kind of product. It's only, you know what I'm saying? So it takes, if you're going to watch a whole ROH show, you're going to have to be patient because you're not going to get, you're going to get wrestling for the most part. You feel me? So it's a different kind of product, and I think, I don't know. I get that.
But isn't that what we want from WWE?
Wrestling?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that what we, so, I mean, look, what ROH just brought in was a good mouthpiece with Enzo. Nobody can deny him on the microphone. He's pretty damn good.
Okay.
Hopefully, they don't overproduce and do what WWE did and let him talk for 30, 40 fucking minutes. Because that's not what we want out of somebody who can cut a good promo. I still don't want to hear him for 30 or 40 minutes. And we're going to get to something like that later on. About a motherfucker cutting a promo for so fucking long that I just lose interest. I have a slight case of ADD, I think. Because I don't care that much to hear somebody talk. I want action. I want action. So, moving on. That was your last thing?
Yeah.
All right. So, we're going to get right to the quick hits. Quick hits time. Then AJ Styles opened up the show, actually, with Seth Rollins and Triple H in the ring. Triple H, you know, obviously congratulating them. They're talking about how he slayed the beast. How first he slayed the king and then slayed the beast. He gonna have people gunning for him. just kind of paraphrasing what the promo was about. And the only thing I would say that was bad about this is that how they announced two triple threat matches, but then I feel like those messages never got to Triple H and Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. Because they kind of announcing, well, Triple H kind of announcing that these triple threat matches are going to happen, like as if we didn't already know that these triple threat matches already happen. You know, and this has been going on with WWE a lot. It's almost like they don't get the message to the people cutting the promos. Because I can remember a few times with WWE announced something, and then whatever wrestler goes out, cut a promo, like it's just brand fucking new. And it's like, we already know this is gonna happen. So this is one of the things that WWE just have been failing us on for quite some time now. Just let the shit happen. Just let it be the surprise. Just announce it on the show. You don't need to announce it before it to get me ready. And that's part of the reason why you mess up your own ratings. Because
there's no suspense.
Right. There's no suspense. And you sitting there and you thinking that if I announce this, that it'll make people sit there and want to watch. But sometimes I sit there and I look at what you put together and I'm like, there's no need. There's not necessary. Because I know how this match is going to go. They're going to get squashed and this person's going to win. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, what happens? That person gets squashed and that person that I thought was going to win, guess what happened? That motherfucker won. So WWE, please stop doing that. Anyway, so two triple threat matches end up being announced. The first of which, AJ Styles defeated United States Champion Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio to advance to Raw's main event to wrestle for the number one contender to the Universal title, which is being held by Seth Rollins. After that, Naomi defeats WWE Women's Tag Team Champion Billie Kay. Surprisingly, didn't really see this coming. Because I didn't understand it. But whatever. Baron Corbin defeated The Miz and Drew McIntyre to advance to the Raw. And the other triple threat match to advance to the Raw's main event for the Universal number one contender title match. After that, Sami Zayn addressed the WWE Universe. Cesaro defeated Cedric Alexander. The NXT Tag Team Champions, the Viking Raiders, attacked the Lucha House Party. In Raw and SmackDown, Women's Champion Becky Lynch defeated Alicia Fox. Lacey Evans attacked Lynch after the match. Not Bobby, but Robert with the porn stash.
Rude. Back to his TNA days. Because he went by Robert Roode in TNA after, I think, Beer Money broke up. Or maybe before Beer Money broke up. One of the two.
Yeah, but the porn stash is awesome. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
I did. I enjoy a good porn stash there.
Defeated Ricochet with the glorious DDT, and then after that, AJ Styles defeated Baron Corbin to earn a Universal Championship opportunity at WWE Money in the Bank. And with that, my friends, that was Raw from Des Moines, home of the home of Seth Rollins. I see his baby. Becky Lynch was out there supporting too. Had on the Iowa colors and shit. That's what's up.
Oh, that's what she was doing. That's what's up. Okay.
That's when your baby down.
I was about to say, you got to move down. You said, you
gonna be right, 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 stuff. Yeah, that was dope. I can give her that. That was dope. Anyway, what was your Raw, sir?
My Raw was AJ Styles, Rey Mysterio versus Samoa Joe. I thought this was a really well done triple threat match. I liked the different kind of finish. Like, I hadn't seen that before, so that was pretty dope. The whole Styles clash on top of Samoa Joe, that was dope. I wish Rey got a little bit more offense in, but I'm wondering if he's still hurt. But overall, I thought they meshed well together. They worked well together, and it was exciting. Like, I was excited. I was like, wow, this is a pretty good match. So kudos to WWE for doing something, you know, I don't want to say outside the box, but giving them time and letting them actually work.
I agree with you. And not only is that my Raw, both triple threat matches were my Raw. I feel like both of them told the story. Mm-hmm. I think both of them allowed them to showcase, for the most part. I think Rey Mysterio had got enough offense for as long as the match was going.
Yeah.
I think he got some offense in there. But I think The Miz showed up. I think Baron Corbin showed up. I think Drew McIntyre obviously showed up. It's kind of a shame, though, that after these two matches, as great as these matches were, that the main event wasn't so good.
Yeah.
And I felt like it did, because this is not going to be in my Raw bad end or ugly. I felt like they did Baron Corbin a disservice because of it. Because the whole thing to me is this. Now, we all were pissed off at the fact that Baron Corbin was going to be the one that to retire Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. Right? And the reason why you're mad about that, I think the reason why we all were mad about that, the main point, it could be other reasons, but I think the main point is because what were you going to do with Baron Corbin after that? And you missed out on an opportunity to me. Because as much as I would love to see AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins, don't you think that if you're trying to build Baron Corbin back up, you have him defeat Kurt Angle, you have him go out in this triple threat match, and he performs well in that. Not only did he perform well in that triple threat match, he also used his brain in that match, which puts him as like one of the ultimate heels that people just don't like. Like, fuck this asshole. Like, we hate him. And you had it fall so flat because you made sure you produced the last match was so slow. And we've seen, and it's not Baron Corbin. It's not AJ Styles. It was what they were told to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. Because I've seen Baron in that match.
They tell them all the time that with WWE, they don't want them to work too fast because it's too much for people.
And I feel like that match moved so slow and the ending was just so blah. That I was just like, what was the point of all of this? Because even if you choose to have AJ Styles go over, why did you not allow them to really go at it? Because at the end of the day, this didn't seem like a match for the number one contender of a universal title that just hadn't been on the fucking show. It felt like nobody was really hungry to go one-on-one with a Seth Rollins who just slayed the Beast. It felt like just a match.
Wasn't, yeah, the intensity wasn't there. I mean, is this your bad or your Raw, sir? Wait, I'm confused.
I know, this might have been just my,
damn,
I know.
He's just going to like, your Raw, man, like, I mean, your bad, right. Like, oh,
it wasn't my Raw bad or ugly, though. But I just want to throw the case out there that what you did to Baron Corbin last night on Raw was the exact reason why we were pissed off that Kurt Angle had to have his last match with Baron Corbin. Because even when you could have said no, because we are going to do something with this, you did nothing with it.
True.
And that's a shame. But what was your bad, sir?
My bad was the opening. Shout out to my wife. She kind of pointed it out, and I was like, you know what? You're right. She's like, as soon as they announced the triple threat matches, her first words before the show even really kicked off and Triple H and Seth were in the ring, at that point she goes, oh, are they going to have all the guys come out and talk now? And I was like, huh? And lo and behold, one by one, here they come. We got to stop this shit, y'all. If they're having a match, show them in the back getting ready to fight. Show them doing something. These long-ass dialogue, like this long-ass speech on why I'm going to win. I know why you're going to win, because you want to be the champion. Like, stop trying to make shit more complicated than it really needs to be. Mm-hmm. If one person came out, or if AJ came out and addressed him, or if you want to kind of swerve us and have Drew McIntyre come out and just talk shit, one's cool. But when you bring the whole parade out, each is pleading their case on why they're going to win, you've done this shit over and over and over and over. So at some point, you got to go, let's do something a little different. And I feel like this was the night to do something different. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to hear your reason on why you're going to win. Just win because you want to be the fucking champion. Like, that's it. Yeah. No speech needed. Mm-hmm. Just kick some ass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Triple H and Seth were enough. And I think they do overkill when they got to bring the whole fucking cavalcade out. And let's do a parade. And get the hell out of here. I don't need your campaign. That's my bad.
I'm surprised that was your bad. To be honest with you. Because one, I mean, I'm pretty sure I thought you would have seen that coming. I definitely saw it coming.
I wasn't thinking about it, though. And the fact that she's the one who brought it up. First of all, I was proud. I was like, look at my baby. Learning wrestling as my baby. But second of all, I was like, this is some bullshit.
It was so many other things that you could have pointed out.
Yeah, but this one bugged me the most. Just because it's the... You know, I was looking out for my friend. You're my best friend. You're my brother. You wanted a reboot. You want new.
I did.
And I was like, ready for new. And then they do the same shit, but they're just new people. I'm like, I did the
same thing, but at least they gave me some entertaining triple threat matches.
This is true. So that maybe makes up for it, kind of. But let's stop doing this parade.
Yeah, I definitely give them that. No, honestly, my bad. Go ahead. Only because something was uglier than this. This was going to be my ugly. But I was like, no. I got to give credit where credit is due. So my ugly is going to be something else.
Yeah.
Just like I give this bad because it was bad. That's Sami Zayn.
Mm.
I am not interested in these long ass fucking monologues. That's what I felt like. I felt like this dude just took me into just some long ass boring fucking monologue that I was just losing interest. I just want to see you wrestle. I don't need to see you cut a 20-minute damn promo. And not that this promo was actually 20 minutes, but his promo was pretty fucking long.
He made you feel that way?
He did. And I don't need to hear such a long promo. Because I feel like he's good enough. He's great enough. On the mic. To get to the point, say what he has to say, and entertain me all at the same time. He's not some person that needs to cut super long ass fucking promos. It's not something that he needs to do. It's the same thing that we just brought up earlier in the show about Enzo, right? When WWE started making them cut them long-ass promos, that's when fans started losing interest.
Because
they're just like, come on. Do we need to hear a 15-minute fucking monologue? Do I need you to read off your fucking dissertation? I mean, that's what we're getting with Sami Zayn. And I'm not liking it. Hey, look, to each their own. If you love it, go ahead. But when I see it on my TV, I'm going to fast forward through that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure I turn the channel. And if he's still on, I'm going to rewind what I missed early on in the night. Because sometimes I usually just don't. Or I'm going to turn right back to what I was watching until that fucking monologue is over with. Because I cannot do it. I won't do it. I refuse to do it. Because I'd rather see him wrestling and cutting a promo. Just cut me a 2-3 minute promo. Get your shit off. And then I want to see you in the match. It's the same thing that I feel like what they doing with Alexa Bliss. What's up with all this moment of bliss? And then you put her in the match. And then we don't see her wrestle for 20 damn weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put her in a match. And then we don't see her wrestle for 28 weeks. But then we see her every fucking week on a Moment of Bliss. On a show that I think most people, regardless of how good you look in Alexa, from Jay Fields and Calvin, we love you. But I still don't want to see a Moment of Bliss. I just don't want to. But other than that, I would rather see her in the ring. Like I said, don't have to see her every week. But I want to see her in the ring wrestling. Because what was the point of bringing her out after WrestleMania, dominating Bayley, and then...
But isn't this what they do? What happened last week doesn't matter to the next. So I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
But I get your grief.
But back to the Sami Zayn. Look, I don't need the monologues. Don't want it. Don't need it. Please stop. Just stop. Moving on. What was your ugly, sir?
My ugly was Baron Corbin winning the triple threat. I think if you're going to have him beat Kurt Angle, and that's going to be the wave he rides, you don't ride that wave and then lose. This is just my personal opinion in booking.
Basically, I feel what like, we talking
yeah,
about, what I said.
Yeah, basically yeah. What you said. That's why I kind of didn't say anything because right. I didn't want to say what I already said. But I feel like this should have been Drew McIntyre's match to win. And then maybe lose to AJ, and that's fine. But at some point, you have to kind of... If he's going to be the dude or like that beast that you're portraying him as, I get the storyline part. But if Baron Corbin is just going out there to lose, then why not have Drew McIntyre have a really good match with AJ, so that kind of builds him up, or maybe get close to beating him, but AJ's, you know, the wily veteran and wins, and go off that route to build Drew McIntyre, because you've built Baron Corbin up to beating Kurt Angle. So make that mean something. Don't have him lose right away. That's stupid. Because then we still don't give a shit in the way you made him lose.
I'm just, look, this is the problem when you're sitting there protecting wrestlers. Because think about it. They protected Drew McIntyre, which is why he wasn't in that main event. Because Drew McIntyre was supposed to win that triple threat match. That's the way they kind of built it. He hit The Miz with the Claymore. Is it Claymore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He hit The Miz with it. And then Baron Corbin, being the savvy person that he is, throws him out the ring, gets the pin on The Miz, and walks off victorious. But that was all for what? Just for what? If anything, maybe The Miz should have won. Mm. And then he take the pinfall from AJ Styles.
Can you do face versus face, sir?
Because The Miz had nothing to gain nor lose. And The Miz showed out. He showed out in that triple threat match.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I feel like they all showed out. I feel like these triple threat matches were pretty good. They were the highlight of Raw. And yet, I still end up feeling dissatisfied when I watched Raw. And that was because of how they booked everything else. Which, by the way, too, we did get a Uso in the Revival sighting. I didn't mention that. They did talk.
I want a match, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to see them in the match. I guess the question is are they going to allow them to have a good match? Because at the end of the day, I think one thing that WWE always forgets, when it comes to wrestlers, you actually have control on how they look. If you book them bad, they're going to look bad. And guess what? Then you're going to sit there and say, I got to release you because people are not getting behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault is that? Some people are just bad.
Mm-hmm.
which is where I'm going to get to now. My ugly. Because some people are just past bad and they're just ugly. And that's Alicia Fox getting to wrestle. Period. Look, I hate to say it, but I don't need to see some alcoholic in the motherfucking ring acting a fool. Those days are over with.
I don't want those days. Wait, what does that mean? Oh, is that an Arn Anderson shot, yo, sir?
Look, man, look. Man, look. I'm just saying, if you don't want me to have the views of me thinking that you're some fucking drunkard going out into the ring, don't act like a fucking drunkard after you just got caught drinking, being in the ring drunk, and you come out looking like a fucking drunk. I'm just saying. And on top of that, you can't wrestle. You cannot wrestle. And yet, they still choose to put this woman in the ring, take up TV time, and not give the opportunity to somebody else? Why? Why is she still on a WWE roster? Somebody should tell her drunk ass to go somewhere else and go in the corner and count something. I don't give a shit.
You called her a drunkard. I just realized that. That was really funny to me. A drunkard.
Man.
You have to take it.
Man, I took it there, man. Fuck that shit. Look.
Man.
I know some people going to be like, damn, man, you wear hard. That's very offensive. I don't give a fuck. Fuck that motherfucker. Look, I don't want to see her ass in a motherfucking ring. I just don't. I don't want to see her, period. Look, I'm going to tell you right now. Alicia Fox said, man, I'll come on your show. I'm like, no, that's good. I'm okay. I drink enough. I don't need two drunkards on the motherfucking podcast. Just saying. Just don't need it. And
wait, is that why I couldn't find a drink when I came in here? Is that what you're doing?
No, man, you have your drink right there.
I didn't see him. I came in here looking for sustenance and I had nothing. I said, where's the drink? I had a hard day. There was nothing. I said, what happened?
Just looked all in the wrong spot.
I needed some peace in my life. Oh, man. Wait, you're going to call me a drunkard. Let me stop.
Yeah, man, but that's okay. That's okay for us.
Oh.
This is our show. We can do what the fuck right. We want.
But anyway, we're not in the ring. Somebody else's life in our hands.
Oh, man. And yet,
true, though. A lot of bad things can happen if you're wrestling drunk. But we're not going to act like in the 70s and 80s these wrestlers wouldn't.
That's why I said we passed that time.
Right.
We passed that time, yo.
No more coked up wrestlers. We're not going to do that anymore. None of that.
And yet, y'all still choose to be like, you know what? Most people have lost their fucking job for that.
This is true.
I don't know what kind of dirt she got on somebody, but she got some dirt on somebody. I'm not going to accuse her of anything else. I'm just going to say that she got some dirt on somebody because you literally, when you're wrestling, got somebody else's life in your hands. And for you to be drunk and have somebody's life in your hand, mm-hmm, and you're a trash ass fucking wrestler as it is, and you don't lose your fucking job, and you're a black woman at that?
Oh, damn. Okay, well, I didn't know that was going to come into play.
Come on, man. Because rich white billionaires don't give a fuck about them like that. Man, look, I'm just telling you. You got some type of dirt on somebody for you to keep your motherfucking job. I just pointed out all the negatives that she have against her. I'm just saying, how does that happen? Somebody need to be asking questions. Because she still end up on my motherfucking TV screen and I don't know how. So that's the reason why I even felt the need to speak on Alicia Fox. And this is why it's my ugly. Damn. Let's armchair book this.
No.
If you can change anything, what would you change?
Drew McIntyre wins the triple threat, goes on to face AJ Styles, and it'd be a really, really good match that Drew McIntyre almost wins. Matter of fact, I would be, this is blasphemous coming from me, I would be okay if AJ Styles beat Drew McIntyre with a schoolboy or a roll-up. And then and make it seem like Drew McIntyre's on kill because you're going to need that other heel, and I think he's the one, not Baron Corbin.
I want to disagree with you, but not really much of a disagreement. Don't really matter. Because at the end of the day, Seth Rollins is going to come out victorious is what I would already choose anyway at Money in the Bank. But if you're going to have, if you're going to build Baron Corbin up to be what he is, and then you're going to sit there and have him beat a Kurt Angle in his last match, then a Baron Corbin should have won this, not only won the triple threat match, but should have beat A1 AJ Styles by their, by means of unsavory ways. That's how he should have gotten there. Building him up as the ultimate douchebag of a heel that you just cannot fucking stand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just can't stand this motherfucker. Like, why he can't lose? Like, that's what they should be building it towards. Like, I don't know what it is. I hate this motherfucker. And I just can't, for the life of me, can't understand why he can't lose. And that is how you build a fucking heel. But then he goes on to lose Seth Rollins. Because he tried to win with unsavory tactics. But it backfired. But it backfires because AJ Styles has something to do with it. And then look. You just built a feud. Look how the, you just told the story.
True.
I'm just saying. You got to think more than just what's going to happen next week.
Are Gallows and Anderson on Raw? Or are they on the SmackDown?
Gallows and Anderson, I don't think, is in WWE, period. Shit.
I mean, they said they're not re-signing. Like, they made that very clear they're not re-signing. So,
yeah.
Come September, they're done. Like, they don't even have to do the 90 days. Like, they're just out. So, I wonder, are they just not going to be booked? Or, like, I'm curious.
Look, they didn't do anything in WWE, which is WWE's fault. But they didn't do anything in WWE to make you sit there and be like, can we get this last hurrah, like, with Dean Ambrose?
No, but the only reason I was saying that was because I wonder if... Because AJ seemed a little heelish. Not... AJ was the snarky AJ, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And not the happy AJ. Yeah. So I was just wondering, like, what if they... maybe Seth Rollins wins, but if Gallows and Anderson were on Raw, then maybe something would happen. But you're right. Let me just stop trying to put that in my head. It ain't happening.
I mean, I think you may get a heel AJ Styles. Because I think... I don't know if WWE quite... See, the problem with WWE, for whatever reason, I don't think they're going to quite push Drew McIntyre to the point where we think, okay, it's that time. I think they're going to drag it out like they do sometimes and just make us wait. Knowing damn well the fans want to see it, but just make us wait anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And just continue to do that. I think AJ Styles is going to hold that Universal title well before Drew McIntyre holds it. I think that's what's going to happen. I think because of that, Drew McIntyre is my early pick to win Money in the Bank. But I don't think he's going to cash in on Seth Rollins. Matter of fact, they already came out and said, creative, that they want to make sure they don't waste this Money in the Bank like they did the past, what was it,
three years?
The past 3 years.
Roman's winning it then.
No.
Okay.
No.
Can we mark down that I said that today? No. Hold on, I'm going to put it in my calendar.
For what? Can you honestly think? I'm going to ask you this question.
When's Money in the Bank, though?
Let me ask you this question.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you this question. You honestly think that Vince McMahon really thinks that Roman needs to have the Money in the Bank briefcase?
I think if the idea behind it is we're not going to waste it, to me, if I'm thinking in a WWE mindset, Dudge and Artist the 19th. What's wrong with me? So, with a WWE mindset, it's either going to be Elias or Roman Reigns. It's going to SmackDown. Whoever's on SmackDown's winning. Like, the SmackDown guy's winning that, because that's a thing you could take in a Fox.
See, and that's...
But it's going to be Elias or Roman.
And see, that's why I disagree with that. But, okay. I mean, I see your point. I do see your point. But the only reason why I disagree with that is because I think that at some point... I think Seth Rollins is going to have a nice, long run with this Universal title.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a short run. And I think the only way that title gets off of Seth Rollins, and I know I'm kind of contradicting myself from what I said earlier, but the only way they're getting that title off of him, because I kind of said that...
Oh, with somebody mooning the Money in the Bank?
Yeah, yeah. The only way they're getting that title off of him is whoever wins the Money in the Bank title. I mean, Money in the Bank is going to take it off of him. Maybe it ain't AJ Styles. Maybe... Then Drew McIntyre probably will get it. So maybe I am kind of contradicting myself in that matter. But I just don't foresee them. But WWE does things that, you know, sometimes we just like, okay. Yeah, they did. They went that route. Didn't think they would, but they went that route.
They're doing this? That's what we say. They're really going to do this?
Because I put it to you like this. They haven't built Kofi Kingston up enough for me to sit there and be like, yep, Roman Reigns needs the Money in the Bank to take that title off of him.
Well, when I say he wins it, though, I don't mean it as in he wins it and then... Because I don't think he's going to cash in that way. Like, on some dastardly stuff. You know how they do with the faces. Yeah. I'm honorable, man. I'm cashing in your face.
But even then, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I still don't think that... He needs it to the point where, I'm going to win Money in the Bank and this is how I'm going to cash in on you. Like, I think they can just actually just book a match. And it happens. I think that's just what it is. They haven't built, as much as I love the fact that Kofi has the WWE title, I don't feel like that they built Kofi up enough for me to believe. And this is because WWE doesn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only going off of what they believe. I don't believe that they believe in Kofi enough. I think they just rallied and came around people's opinions and voices and said, okay, we're going to do this. Which, by the way, my honorary Raw was the voice of the people. I'm dead ass serious. Like, I know it sounds funny, but I'm being dead ass. The fact that everybody was able to go out there and they voiced their opinion about the Viking experience and they got that shit changed. We still got the Viking experience as far as this is their finisher. But the fact that WWE listened and said, yeah, we better just change this name. Because of people like you, me, everybody on I Heart Wrestling, anybody that follows a wrestler and said something, followed WWE and said something. If it wasn't for everybody voicing their opinion and just being utterly shocked by such a horrible name for a group of guys who are too damn good to be made a joke of. I mean, that makes me happy. Because it really, to get Vince to change his mind just doesn't happen too often.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to do that. I think next we got to attack this Bray Wyatt thing, though. I think we got to, as fans, we just got to sit there and be like, yo, WWE.
After watching that, I'm going to give it a chance. The only reason I'm going to give it a chance is I feel like maybe they're going to go somewhere. So here's the thing, and this doesn't make it necessarily better, but this really does remind me of broken Matt Hardy, like how he started. So I'm like, okay, kind of get where you're going with this.
So give it a chance.
I'm going to try to see what you do next week and see if it gets stupider or makes a little bit. Because there are spots in there where I'm like, okay, like when he got angry, when he chainsawed the old Bray Wyatt, and I was like, okay. And then the hands say heel, hurt and heal, right? Yeah. And I was like, okay. And I feel like the Buzzard and the Doll are going to be Nikki Cross and Eric Young, maybe. And it may not be. I like, they going trying to do something.
Then who's the fucking bunny?
That I see, that's the other, we don't know. So maybe there's somebody. Maybe they'll bring up, what's it called? Punishment Martinez or something. Somebody who fits the kind of, maybe they're trying to do something. I love stables. So it feels like that. So I'm going to give them a chance until they get stupid as fuck. Then when they start getting dumb and we got the Wyatt compound match, then I'll be like, oh, shit. Yeah. Damn it to
hell. How you like Alexander Wolfe being with Walter?
Love it. And here's why. Because anybody who's watched them prior to their WWE runs, there was a group, Ringkampf, who the main objective was to make or keep the wrestling ring sacred. That's what they do. That was their goal. So now with Imperium, I feel like that's going to be back to those roots of just beating people's ass and making the ring sacred.
I love it.
First of all, Walter is that dude. And I'm still mad at CBS. Yeah, fuck CBS, y'all, dog. Fuck y'all so you. Stupid, man. Y'all don't know wrestling. I've watched this match 5 times. Ain't no trash in that damn thing. That thing is brilliant.
Fucking see?
Jeebus.
Fuck you. Like, it sucks somebody's peppy. Like, man, that's just how I feel about it.
Hey, I don't fault you because that match was excellent.
Fuck.
Like, what more do you want from wrestling? Two guys just beating the shit out of each other.
And there was wrestling in it.
There was wrestling in it. No goofy gimmicks, no chairs, just.
It told the story.
I cringed so many times without there being a weapon, fire, anything. Barbed wire, didn't
need
it.
And they booked it how it should be booked. What's the name is a champion? He got to be able to go against somebody big and be able to give them some go.
Yep.
And that's what he was able to do. All the while, at the same time, you sat there and you was like, he's not going to win this match. Like, Walter is just kicking his fucking ass. But at the same time, the champion in him allowed him to be somebody who can sort of overcome some of the things that Walter is doing. I mean, fuck you, CBS Sports. Fuck you. You're like, your opinion on wrestling no longer matters. For real. Like, they can't even. I don't give a fuck if we seen Kenny Omega versus fucking Cody, and then they put on a 5-star match, and CBS said they put on a 5-star match. I don't believe you. Your opinion means shit to me.
You've lost all credibility.
Yeah, they lost all credibility to me. I will never even entertain CBS grading or talking about wrestling ever again. Just never again. Anyway, I think that'll do it for this week's The Raw, The Bad, The Ugly. Be sure to check out 1515 for all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or any other podcast platform that you choose to use. If you type in 1515 now, you find a podcast such as Equal Opposites, Lace Them Up, Love and Hip Hop The Rundown, Wrestling Roundtable, Studio Flow, and the MWT Podcast. And if you just like fuck them other dudes because you only fuck with us dudes, just type in Wrestling, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, Roundtable, and you'll find the RBU, GTS, and any other special events and or pay-per-view podcasts on there. Also, click on the Amazon banner, go support the site. Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day coming up. So just go out there, get your lovely wife, daughter, mom, whatever the case may be, aunt, a nice little gift, and get your father something. Or brother, or, you know, get them something.
Buy something for somebody.
Buy something for somebody. Don't be so damn selfish. Don't be so selfish. Anyway, with that said, it's me, Stir the Pro.
It's Miller.
And we out.